Tonight, we at 6 o'clock on the second floor, we have our informational meeting for the Revere launch. For those of you that are not aware, beginning in May 6th, we are opening up a new location. We are adding to what we have right now. We currently have 3 services right here in Lynn. We will be adding 2 services in Revere at 8:30 and 10 a.m. starting May 6th. And if you are interested in being part of our Revere launch, please join us on the second floor here today. And even if it's like, oh, my sister lives near there or something, and you just want to find out, that's fine. You can come on out and be part of that meeting as well. Many of you remember Padraig, who we asked you to start praying for. It's been a real difficult situation. Let me just give you a quick update. He is continuing to make incremental steps forward. He is not declining right now. He is increasing, and we're he's off the respirator, and there's lots of very good things that are taking place here. So I would need you to keep praying for Padraig. He really has a long journey ahead of him, but he could desperately use your prayers as he continues to fight this battle that he has. In the video that we just watched, it was a recap of the passage found in Matthew chapter 7, our theme verse for this relationship series, which Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds his house on solid rock. Somebody say solid rock. Solid rock. Though the rain come in torrents and the floodwaters rise, the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on what? Rock. It's built on rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When it rains and floods comes and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Several years ago, my family was down in Nags Head, North Carolina, and it was my parents' anniversary, and all the siblings came and grandkids, and we just had a great time in this giant house that we rented. And one of the things we did was we all went out and we rented Jeeps, and we drove up along north of Nags Head. We got out onto the beach, and we just started driving on the sand right next to the ocean. But there were like these wild horses on the beach. And so we started driving next to wild horses. It was kind of cool, and they would go back. We had a great time. And one of the things we noticed when we were doing this, when we were driving on the beach with the sand and the horses, was all of a sudden there would be this magnificent house. Okay? Just an absolutely magnificent house, and it would be on the sand, on the beach. Let me explain. Not next to the beach, not near the beach, but actually on the beach, right there. But it was strange because these were beautiful houses, mansion-type houses, and there was the sand that would be several feet high around the house. It was like the wind had blown, and it was like how it looks in New England, how it looks when we get a snowstorm, you know, and the snow's just piled up around our house, but it was sand. And I thought to myself, this does not seem like a smart idea. This doesn't seem like a very smart place to build your house on sand. I know somewhere it says not to do that, all right? And so I thought to myself, and so I asked, I was just curious. These were not old shacks that nobody lived in. I said, hey, why are all these like mansion-type houses up here, these just fancy houses? And they said, well, all of these houses have been destroyed by hurricanes at least 4 times. And I'm like, oh, okay, well then how come they keep rebuilding them? Because FEMA keeps giving them the money to rebuild them. Isn't that crazy? That's a whole different issue, but that's kind of crazy. There is absolutely no chance that these houses will survive a hurricane. Why? Because they're built on sand. You don't build things on sand. Because when you build stuff on sand, it falls apart. It can't handle the storms. It looks nice on a pretty day, but during a storm, it all comes apart. You know what stands up during a hurricane? Lighthouses. Lighthouses. Every time I see a lighthouse, I want to stand up straighter. There's a lighthouse. It's been there forever. Why? It's built on rock. It is built on solid rock. they can handle hurricanes. They can handle storms. They just handle over and over again. Now think about all of this. Think about this idea of building on a solid rock in the context of your relationships. Your marriage, your friendships, your parent-child relationships, any kind of relationships that you have. Think about how your relationships are built. What kind of relationships do you have? Do you have this kind of relationship? Or do you have this kind of relationship? You see, the first relationship, you know what that is. It just falls apart during the storm. This kind of relationship is like, you can't take me out. I'm stronger than you. Not because I'm just automatically stronger, but because I'm built on a solid rock. And if your relationships are built on solid rock and not just things that shift and the shifting sand moving around, then you make it. I really just love this picture. We could just like think about it and meditate on it for a couple of hours or something. But I this picture inspires me. You know what the storms of life are like, right? You know how just kind of stuff hits you, like it's relentless and it keeps coming? Well, that lighthouse keeps making it because it's built on a solid rock. And your relationships can make it too if they are built on solid rock, on a firm foundation. The foundation of a building is the most important part because it sets the course for the whole house. And it's the parts in a house or the parts in a thing that you like. It's the stuff that you don't see that is usually the most important. It's the underneath stuff. It's the things that allow it to be built, that allow it to be amazing. And there are many areas in our relationships that absolutely need work. We know this. There's tons of areas in your relationship, not just one, there's hundreds that need work. But today, I'm going to ask us to examine one. One of the most critical elements in our relationships. And again, this is the fourth part in this series. And this thing that we're going to focus on today is the foundational role of consistency. Will somebody say consistency? Consistency. The foundational role of consistency. Now, when you're thinking like, oh, I can't wait to have a better relationship with my spouse, and the first thing that you think of is consistency, that's not very sexy. Right? You're not like, woo, I am consistent, right? Yeah, you're like, woo. That's not really what goes in your mind. The thing about having a rock-solid foundation is that when you have a rock-solid foundation of something, it's unchanging, it lasts, and it lasts, and it lasts. Think about a big, giant piece of granite, just a big rock. If you were to hold that rock for 100 years, that rock would not get bigger, and it would not get smaller. It would still just be a solid rock. It would be unchanging. It would be consistent. It would be reliable. You could use it and understand how to use it because it's the same. Having that type of rock-solid character, a consistent character that is entirely trustworthy and stable, is critically important in relationships. We live in a world that changes every day. The world changes so fast, by the time we get out of service today, the world will have changed. Things just keep on changing, keep on changing. We're changing at a more rapid pace than we've ever done in the history of humanity. Most of it we like, some of it we don't. Can you imagine life without cell phones, airbags? Remember when cars did not have airbags? Email, text messages, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Snapchat, tweets on your phone, tweets from the president, in your car, internet, everywhere. Ethical debates over life and medicine, pollution, things have changed. They will continue to change at an exponential rate. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just going to keep on changing. But because everything is changing so fast, some of the things we like, but some of the things we just can't keep up with. It's too much. It's too fast. We can't even figure out if it's ethical or moral it's happening so fast. Now, even though we do appreciate some of the things, the reality is now more than ever, we need rock-solid relationships that are consistent, that are so strong and stable. that when the hurricanes of life blow into your life without invitation, that you will still be standing after the hurricane has passed. I hope that makes sense. A major part of having that type of rock-solid foundation is to be consistent. What is consistent? Consistent is being stable. Consistent is being enduring. Consistent is being reliable. Aren't those all super sexy words, right? That's what should be under the word sexy, is those words right there. But they're not. Consistent in areas of your life, consistent in your actions, how you respond, consistent in your attitude, consistent in your approach to life and to people and to things. One of the things that I've learned in life is that consistency is of absolute high and great value. I've learned to value the consistency of character more than the lure of talent. I am so done chasing after talent. I will take character every single day. You can't build a life on a one-hit wonder. You can't build a career off Ice Ice Baby. It was good while it lasted. I'm not going to do it. You can't build a relationship on a past distant moment. Enduring relationships are built on consistency of relationship more than the flames of passion. I've learned to value the consistently positive friend over the critical friend. There's a story told about an old Vermont farm couple. They were driving along in their pickup truck, and she's sitting in the passenger seat, and she says to Ralph, "Ralph, we never sit all snuggled up together in the truck like we used to." He looks over at her from his driver's seat and he replies, "Well, Sue, I haven't moved." Okay, half of you got that? In the first service, nobody got it. So you guys are doing better. What is consistency? So many times, consistency is just showing up. Just showing up. Putting your body where it's supposed to be at the right time. Any employer would rather have a consistent employee that showed up day in, day out at the same time than a hotshot employee that you can barely rely on. Consistency is a key foundational element in all relationships. It is a cornerstone character piece. And we can look to God on this one as a great example of consistency. So let's take a moment. We've talked a lot about why we think it's important, but this is why. This is the why behind the need for consistency. If we look at God's character, in church theology, there's this fancy word for God, which it means that he is immutable. It's the word immutable. It means that God is unchanging in the perfection of his character, nature, purposes, and promises. He is unchangeable. He is consistent. He is faithful. He cannot be modified to be better because he is already the best. He cannot increase, nor can he be decreased, because God is simply rock solid. That does not mean, however, that he is static or uninvolved. Rather, it means that he is stable, dependable, and trustworthy. In the book of Numbers, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie. He is not human that he should change his mind." And let me pause, meaning he doesn't change his mind like a human changes his mind. Like, "Oh, I'm going to put on my red shirt. No, no blue." Okay, not like that, not like that. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? This is an idea of God's character and stability. Next. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. He's just solid. You can't move him. But you are always the same. Your years never end. He's consistent. He will always be there. no matter what. Even when you feel like he's not, he is. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God above, who created all heaven's lights. Unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows. He doesn't change. He's reliable. God says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. Just in case you didn't understand the other ones, okay? All right? And here's something that's really important. In this next passage, we hear about Jesus. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that's interesting. That sounds an awful lot like we just heard about God. That's correct. That's because the scripture here is trying to help you see that Jesus is God. Why is all this important? Because if this is who God is, consistent, immutable, and if this is how he reveals himself in Jesus, then we can have great confidence that God will be where he says he will be and will do what he says he will do. So that when we read a passage like 1 John that says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. When we read that, when we see that, we understand that it's true. That he will, in fact, do exactly what he said he will do. To appreciate that passage, we first have to have confidence in the consistency of God's character. So, God's our example in this idea of character and consistency. So how do we create this foundational character in our life? How do we get this character? How do we get this resolve? How do we be consistent? And so this is just maybe not that complicated, pretty simple here. The first thing you need to do to be consistent, we all know it, is very simply to show up, right? And then do you know what you do after you show up? You show up again, that's right. You keep showing up. And you then keep showing up. And then you keep showing up. And do you know how long you have to show up for? For the next 80 years. Not just next week. If you're like, man, I nailed it. I showed up 3 times in a row exactly when I said I would. You're still not consistent. You're just starting. Give me 80 years. You'll be consistent. Some of you are like having anxiety right now. What? That's what it takes to be consistent. Just doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Building a life, building relationships on consistency in your life. Lewis and Mark and I went mountain hiking on Thursday. We climbed 3 mountains. Actually, I climbed 2. They climbed 3. I was like, I'm trying to climb the 48,000 footers, right? And this third one wasn't one of them. I'm like, you guys do that. I'm staying bound here. So I have 34 more to go. I've got a lot to go. But I'm trying to get them done because I want to do the 48th on my 48th birthday, which is next September. All right? So I'm trying. I got 34 mountains to climb this year, okay, is what that means. And so maybe on my birthday next year, you can all go climb it. You can all climb with me on that last one, okay? But listen, the only way I can get that done is I have to put it into my calendar and I have to block off days and then I have to get in the car and go. It's always the hardest part, like the alarm going off and getting into the car and driving up and the whole thing. But you just have to be consistent with it. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to do it, and then like 3 weeks before you try to do it, you're not going to make it. There's something consistent. It's like losing weight or trying to get into shape. No matter how many things on the internet tell you that pill will work, it won't. And what you have to do is you have to work out, you have to have exercise, and you have to eat correctly. No matter how much we don't want it to be true, it's still true. It's just still true. And you're like, but I do exercise. And then you say, when? When's the last time you exercised? Well, I went to the gym last year. That doesn't count. Doesn't count. I mean, if you move from no times a year to once a year, that's progress, right? But then the 2 times a year, and you're just moving forward. Okay, so consistency. You just have to build it in. So I told you 3 weeks ago that I was going to drop this next thing on you. So here it is. I want to challenge you, all you married couples, everybody that's married here in the room, I want to challenge you to do something that people that work in this field and study this field and help people in this field tell us is absolutely essential. I want to challenge you to go out on a date with your spouse every single week. Every single week. You know how many weeks there are in a year? 52. That does not mean go out on 52 dates in a row. All right? Like 52 days. One date a week for 52 weeks. Now you're like, what are you talking about? I have not been on a date with my spouse in 3 years. Well, hopefully you'll start going out on dates every week. Let me help you understand this. A date does not mean spending money. You're allowed to just like go to the beach and walk along the beach. You're allowed to go sit in a car and do nothing, just escape the children, all right? You can go out for coffee. You know, every once in a while, throw in something nice. Like a few weeks ago, Jen and I went to the top of the Hub. I wouldn't say do that all the time, right? So many fancy things going on. I'm like, let's just go get some pizza. But every once in a while, something like that's nice. It doesn't have to be money. We're not talking about money. But here's what happens. As soon as I said that, a group of you that are married, you immediately went to every reason why you can't do that. They're just excuses, which are also known as lies. There's excuses. You can overcome all the excuses. I can give you some examples. You're like, well, I got kids and I can't afford childcare. That's fine. We're not asking you to spend money. Find somebody that will watch your kids for free. So each other, please watch each other's kids for free. There's a good thing. Or trade off. You know, somebody can watch your kids and then you watch their kids. Now, if you have one kid and they have six kids, you know, I don't know, you know, it's a little difficult. Yeah. Maybe you get like six dates out of that one or something, but you know, you can figure it out. You figure out the details. Okay, but you just start to get this into the rhythm. It's the same date. I mean, it's like the same day, same time, same idea every single week. You're going to build consistency into your relationship. Because what happens is you need time away from home, away from the kids, away from the computer, just where you're talking. Or, you know what? Sometimes, just where you're not talking. Not that you're mad at each other, you're just too exhausted to talk. And so you're just in the car. Maybe like zoning out at the movies. But you're just next to each other knowing that you're on the same team. And sometimes that is really important. And you remind yourself every week you're on the same team. You're on the same team. And you build, and you build, and you build, and you build, and you build. My wife and I have been married for a ridiculously long time now. And in nearly 25 years of being married. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. Holy cow. Yeah. May is going to be 25 years. May is going to be 25 years. We have gone on a date nearly every single week during that time. Now, there are times when there aren't. And here's when it happens. Let me explain to you when it happens. Christmas happens. Christmas. It's always messing up date night. Easter, Thanksgiving, every family thing, softball banquets, you know, all this stuff that you got to do. But here's what happens. It's not the rule, it's the exception. And so the next week, you immediately bounce back. It becomes a non-negotiable. And so you just go right ahead, and there you are. It's extremely helpful. This is just an idea, right? This is the one that you should do, but there's a lot of other ideas on how to build consistency in your life and in your character and in your relationship. This is just one. Don't panic about it. If you haven't been alone with your spouse like in a long time, you know, now it's time. Now it's time. Show up, keep showing up, and become the master of your emotions. Become the master of your emotions. I don't know if you're aware of this, but most of us have emotions that are not helpful. And you're like, well, what are you talking about? How do you master those? Don't they just happen? Well, sometimes they just happen, but you got to do something with it. The Bible says you need to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You force it to become obedient to Christ. You take those thoughts, you take those emotions, and make them, cause them to submit themselves to Christ. That's really important. Second, you need to understand one of the ways you master your emotions is by this principle. You act your way into feelings, you don't feel your way into actions. You act your way into feelings, you don't feel your way into actions. How many times have I heard, I just don't love them anymore? I don't care how you feel. I'm caring how you act. Because I know that if you act, you will feel. I don't feel like bringing my wife roses home. Or whatever she likes. It doesn't matter. Act your way into feeling. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what will benefit your relationship. Act your way into it. But I'm really mad at them. Yeah, it happens all the time. You're going to be mad. But you're going to develop these things as a consistency of character. Each service, I'm getting a little bit more unplugged on this point, okay? So wait till the third service. So you get the idea. Act your way into feeling. Act your way. Tell your neighbor, act your way into feeling. Act your way into feeling. I don't feel like saying that. Act your way into feeling. Just do it. Okay. Fourth thing is this. Make continual progress. You don't have to be perfect today. You don't have to be perfect tomorrow. Just make continual progress in your attitude, in your actions, and your approach. Make progress. Make progress. Make progress. So all we're asking, just make some progress as the worship team comes up. Every year, I get calls and emails and cards and however people get a hold of you now, from people that I've been ministering to for the last 26 years. And I get them because people know that I'm in the same place that I've been for the last 26 years. I'm geographically in the same place. And people just assume that I will be here because that's a pretty good assumption. And what this does is this consistency creates an opportunity for greater service and greater opportunity to assist. I want you to catch this. This is really important in this idea. In your relationships, consistency creates intimacy. Consistency creates intimacy. And stability in your character will release ability in your life. Stability in your character releases ability in your life. If your character is in flux, it's not stable, it's not consistent, it decreases your ability in life and in relationships. Every winter, here in Lynn, we get snow, or almost every winter. And on Saturday is when all the snow seems to happen, at least in my opinion, okay? It's late Saturday night into Sunday morning, all right? And we will get snow, and we'll get snow Saturday after Saturday. And do we ever cancel church because of snow? No. Really, we don't. You're like, even in a blizzard? Even in a blizzard. Even when we had 3 feet of snow a couple of years? No, we didn't cancel. In fact, we had 76 people walk to church that day. Like, are you kidding me? No, we had 70, I don't know what's wrong with you. 76 people walked to church that day. It was crazy. We had snow up to here. You're like, well, what if there was like 10 feet of snow? It's okay. Josh could sleep on the second floor. He'd still be here, okay? Now, let me explain. We're not trying, when we say that, just so you understand, we're not trying to say, we need to be New England rugged or tough. That's not what we're really trying to say. What we're trying to say is that we will be here no matter what. So you never have to question it. You never have to second guess it. You never have to wonder. We'll always be here, no matter what. It's a consistency idea. We can build on consistency. So when the weather forecast comes, you don't have to wonder. You just know. There's something powerful about consistency in your relationships. When you know, they will be home when they say they will be home. They will go to where they say they will go. If you're trying to pick up the pieces of your life today, if you're trying to get back onto the right track, Bravo. That's great. This is one of the things you have to work on. If you've taken some detours and gotten off in the wrong paths, this is the path you need to get back onto. Start growing in this area of consistency, and you will begin to see the fruit in your life. Little things like this. Consistent people don't stay up till 2 a.m. each night playing video games. Consistent people don't call in sick when they're just being lazy. Consistent people show up when they say they will show up, and they do what they say they will do, and they don't commit themselves physically, emotionally, or spiritually to things they're not ready for. Consistently build a life of character that allows you and those you are in relationship with to stand tall through the storm, like those lighthouses we saw earlier. Make sure, here's your challenge, make sure you are the most consistent person in your family and in your friends and in your community. Just keep on working on your consistency. All right, why don't we go ahead and stand as we close here. So we've left you with some time today. Intentionally, we wanted to make sure that you have a chance to get to know the candidates outside. And you'll have a chance to do so. But before we do that, I want to bless you before you leave. So let me pray for you before you go. Heavenly Father, today, thank you so much that you have been rock solid in my life and in our lives. Thank you that you are consistent day in, day out, no matter what. That through every joy and through every sorrow, you have always been there. God, I ask that you will help us. Help us in our relationships with our friends, with our family, with our spouses, and all the other kinds of relationships we have. Would you help us to increase in the area of consistency? Grow us in our character. Help us to see where we're not being consistent and to recognize the value and importance of making it a priority. Give us courage, if we need it, to make change. Give us the strength to do so. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray.